in the world do you begin to describe Will Eno's meta-theatrical Rubik's Cube of a play, The Flu Season?
I usually describe this play as a sad comedy.
Alix Van Hagen is directing Single Carrot Theater's upcoming production of The Flu Season. And she says the basic story in the play, if you can say there is one,
is a man and a woman in a sort of hospital who are tended to by a doctor and nurse who are quite self-absorbed. And the man and the woman end up falling into a sort of love affair. And all the while, things are being orchestrated and the audience is being guided through it by a prologue and an epilogue.
Said prologue and epilogue are in fact two of the six characters in this love story, a love story that's somehow actually a play about how frustrating it is to write a play.
It is a chronicle of love and no love, of interiors and exteriors, of weather, change, and time. But lo, what chronicle isn't? My name is Dustin Morris, and my character is Prologue.
Prologue really serves in many ways as the audience's guide through this play. And in a lot of ways is very representative of a playwright setting out to write a play.
Prologue essentially believes in that he's the one telling the story, that he's the one, like, in a sense, shaping and manufacturing these characters and trying to tell this beautiful love story to his audience.
When it doesn't go as he plans, when the story is hard to tell and it's not romantic, he doesn't really know where to go with it.
He finds that the creative process is a little bit more difficult, a little bit more of a challenge than he had anticipated, and that these characters, they're a little unruly at times, and it causes him to break apart.
If you could say that Prologue was the playwright at the beginning of the process, Epilogue is way past having written this play.
Ever slowly lose control of something? Ever slowly lose control of everything? Ever fail? Ever really badly fail?
Allison Harkey plays the role of Epilogue with all the enthusiasm of a world-weary waitress.
Slightly depressed, kind of bitter, knows where this is going and that it's not going to be good.
Director Van Hagen gave her jaded Epilogue a metaphor to think about for when she's on stage reacting to the zeal of her foil, the enthusiastic Prologue. She said, think about it this way, Epilogue.
Once you are a few years out of college, maybe 5, maybe 10 more, you go back to an old college bar and you see all the college students there. And they're doing the same things that you did. And there's this really exciting thing about it. You know, there's this sort of, oh, I remember that was fun. But then there's also this sort of superiority that you have because you know better. And, oh, you don't do that anymore. And then there's also this sort of sad nostalgia.
Epilogue is having a really bad night watching this. And it's embarrassing. It's like going back and reading high school poetry. You don't want to share that part of your evolution with the public.
You probably don't see me as a man who loves so much. I, like everyone, was and was so for very long.
Michael Salconi plays the doctor at the Crossroads Psychiatric Retreat, where our story is set. Whatever air of authority this doctor presents at the onset is not meant to last. If the hospital is his Kingdom of Oz, he turns out to be the scared little man behind the wizard's curtain.
Doctor is someone who has chosen a profession or perhaps was pushed into a profession that he's really not suited for. He's not really competent, but he tries to put on this air of competence.
Both the doctor and the nurse are sort of self-absorbed and a lot about looking back at their memories and what could have been.
Families are only groups of people. They mean well. They try. Unless they're angry mobs waving broken bottles and golf clubs, but they, in their way, still try.
Genevieve DeMai plays opposite the doctor as the nurse at Crossroads. She's equal parts prim and lonely, attentive and hollow.
She really invests deeply in her patients because they're the only relationships that she has in her life.
Just to back things up here, think of the prologue and the epilogue characters as the not-so-invisible hand of the playwright, and the nurse and the doctor characters as something like self-aware actors in his play. Then we come to the man and the woman, the two patients at the hospital who are the real protagonists at the heart of this story. They meet, they fall for each other, and we root for their romance. But really, They have no idea who they're supposed to be or why they're even here.
What should I say? I don't know. I never knew.
Actor Paul Diem plays the man. He seems to get wise at some point to the notion that he's a figment of someone else's imagination. After he wins the trust and love of his fellow patient, the woman, he gets blissfully capricious, totally unconcerned about any consequences of what he says or does.
The man feels in control a good deal of the play. You know, he's definitely wrapped up in himself, but he's pretty convinced that he knows what's going on. Part of that is because he's in the safety of this hospital and actually of this play.
He develops a relationship with the woman throughout the play.
And in the last scene, he's about to leave that.
And so it's actually a kind of a different experience, whereas the woman's being jerked around the whole time through the man by the playwright. The man actually just kind of is like, oh, look, now this would be fun. I'll do this now. And so he doesn't feel it until the end. But at the end, it's pretty rough.
I think that's the moment where he starts to question whether all of the choices that he's made about who he's chosen to be, what he's chosen to do, come into question.
I have breathed deeply enough, thank you. I think I'll go be sick again. That would be the most expressive thing I could do. Words.
The sacrificial lamb at the heart of all this meta-theater is the woman. Jessica Garrett plays the character with heartbreaking fragility.
Woman is what my mother would call lost and lonely. She feels an envy of those who can easily identify themselves. I am an artist. I am a mother. I am a nurse. I am a doctor. I think that that's one thing that she's searching for. I think she's very guarded emotionally, but when someone is able to put holes in that armor, then there becomes a flood of emotion on her part, and that can make relationships, both romantic and otherwise, extraordinarily difficult.
Ultimately, the story is about how hard it is to create something and how hard it is to live something.
Director Alix Fenhagen says sometimes people get put off by self-referential meta-theater because it can be, frankly, self-indulgent and exclusive. But she says Will Eno's play, The Flu Season, makes the audience and its expectations an accomplice to the story.
You know, the audience comes in and it's set up like a love story, albeit a quirky one. And we all know how a love story goes. You know, we all know the variations that play on a love story. And we want that.
Our playwright knows we want that. And when the second act opens, he shows us in no uncertain terms that we aren't going to get it. The message?
Don't get too comfortable. This play is not what you thought it was.
Will Eno's The Flu Season opens at Single Carrot Theater on January 24th. Opening night coincides with the grand opening of Single Carrot's new theater space at 2600 North Howard Street in Baltimore. You can find out more about the new space and the upcoming show online at singlecarrot.org. For The Signal, I'm Aaron Henkin.
You're listening to The Signal, an original production of Your Public Radio.